I'd like to read you two stories, and we're going to play spot the difference with them. All right, so you just feel free to listen hard to all the details and see what you notice is the same and what you notice is different between the two stories. The first one comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the first gospel we have in our New Testaments, and if anyone would like to follow along, the words will be on the screen, or you could follow along in your own Bible in Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from him the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." That's the first story. And this is the second story we're going to play Spot the Difference with. Three Kings, written and illustrated by Brian Harrison Lever. Long ago, in a faraway place to the north of the bright blue sea, lived King Melchior. He would look up at the sky each night and dream of touching the stars. "I can touch the flowers in the garden and the snow on the mountains and dip my feet into the cool water of the ocean. Why can I not touch the stars?" he asked his astrologer. The wise old man stroked his beard for a while and then answered, "The heavens and their secrets and the secrets they hold are beyond the reach of all and will remain so until the right questions are asked and the answers understood." Melchior was intrigued by this response and at once sent off messengers to invite King Balthazar and King Caspar to join him. The three young men were great friends and enjoyed listening to the stories of their elders and pondering the mysteries of the world they lived in. One night, the three kings were sitting together with their astrologers on the palace balcony sipping peppermint tea. Who here has had peppermint tea before? And who knows what an astrologer is? Because I don't think we've said yet. What's an astrologer? Stargazer? Not just a gazer, right? What do they think about the stars? They read the stars. They're star gazers, star readers. Okay, so we have three kings, and they each have some star readers and stargazers who are with them. What happens next? The astrologers, who knew many of the stars by name, told the kings that the night sky could foretell the future. Look in the east, a new star, said the first astrologer. Each night it will grow brighter until it outshines all the others, said the second. The third wise man nodded his head in agreement and said, follow that star and it will lead you to a newly born child, the son of the Lord of the universe. This was exciting news, a new royal prince. We must go and take gifts for the child and for his family, the three kings agreed. Balthazar and Caspar hurried home to prepare. For the next few days, there was much activity across the land. As the new star grew bigger, so too did the piles of colourful packages. Now, kids, can you all look at this page? At all of the kids, turn your attention to the picture here. I'm going to read out some of the things that the three kings were piling up in their present piles to take to the new king. So see if you can spot things and see what you can remember for next time, all right? There were sweets and dried fruits, new clothing and toys, silver coins and jewels and many things for boys. There were perfumes and bottles and precious things for girls, silk ribbons and necklaces of amber and pearls. One winter's morning, the astrologers announced that the time had come to follow the star. Tents were packed, and camels and horses loaded with all the things needed for a long journey. The three kings were to meet along the road, each with his wise astrologer to guide the way, his shepherd to keep the sheep, and servants to take care of the camels and horses. King Melchior was the first to arrive at the meeting place. Soon after, a great commotion in the camp marked the arrival of King Balthazar. In no time at all, King Caspar's caravan was announced by the blowing of trumpets and the stamping of many feet. By midday, everyone had settled down to rest, and all was quiet. The real journey would begin at nightfall. Why are they starting their journey at night? Because they need the star for directions, don't they? That's interesting, because I don't normally start my journeys at night. I don't know about you. As the sun sank below the western horizon, the new star, the star of wonder, appeared in the night sky. The travellers packed up and moved on. Three kings, three wise men, their shepherds and servants, and their animals loaded high with colourful packages. The caravan wound its way through forests and over mountain passes. As daylight came, they made camp outside a small town. Before long, some people from the town gathered around to beg for food. "What is this?" the kings asked the wise men, for they had not seen begging before. "Poverty, alas, is common," they replied. "Many here do not have enough to eat." "We must do something," said Melchior, Balthazar and Caspar, "for this is a special time when the son of the Lord of the universe is to be born. All people should remember it and be happy." The next morning, the poor of the town awoke to find many beautiful gifts beside their sleeping place. There were sweets and dried fruits, new clothing and toys, silver coins and jewels, and many things for boys. There were perfumes in bottles and precious things for girls, silk ribbons and necklaces of amber and pearls. Well fed for once, the children ran out through the streets, laughing and happy, to the campsite where the strangers had been. But the fields were empty. While the townspeople were asleep, the travellers had moved on. After travelling all night, the caravan stopped to rest outside a great walled city. Wealthy merchants soon gathered to sell their goods. "Where are your poor people?" the kings asked them.
"At work, of course, in the fields and houses of the rich," the merchants replied. "They're not like us. They came here with nothing from far-off lands."
"We must do something," said Melchior, Balthazar and Caspar. "For this is a special time when the son of the Lord of the universe is to be born. All people should remember it and be happy." The next morning, the poor and oppressed of the town awoke to find beautiful gifts beside their sleeping place. There were sweets and dried fruits, new clothing and toys, silver coins and jewels, and many things for boys. There were perfumes and bottles and precious things for girls, silk ribbons and necklaces of amber and pearls. "We can take a holiday at last and buy good food and warm clothes for our children," the people rejoiced. Happy and smiling, they danced all the way to the markets.
The rich people didn't know what to do without their servants. "Come back," they pleaded. We'll pay you for your work and give you a holiday each week."
And so it was agreed. The poor and oppressed of the town could now look forward with hope to a happier future. The long journey continued for the three kings, travelling by night to follow the star and leaving gifts wherever they found people in need. Finally, they reached a small town surrounded by cedar trees. The star now shone as bright as day and more beautifully than the moon, bathing the buildings in glittering light. "This is the place," the astrologer said. "This is where the child will be born." Know the name of the town we're in? Anyone guess what town we've arrived in, Bellana? Bethlehem. You're pretty clever because they haven't said that yet. Shall we see? They set up camp outside the town. It didn't take long as there were no colourful packages left to unload. Then the kings summoned the shepherds to their tent. "Shepherds," said King Melchior, "go into the town and find the place where the star shines brightest." The honest shepherds looked up at the star and then at each other. "We're frightened," they said. "Don't be afraid," the astrologers told them, "for this star brings glad tidings and great joy to the world." Hearing this, the shepherds walked bravely up the road and into the town. The three kings and their wise men sat down together to discuss what should be done next. Balthazar spoke for the others. "We've travelled far to greet the son of the Lord of the universe, and we have given away all our precious gifts along the way. Now we are here, we have nothing left to give him, and that makes us sad." The astrologers discussed this problem, then spoke as one. "Your long journey," they said, "has been blessed with opportunity. Why should you be unhappy? You have discovered that there is poverty and need in the world, and you have given freely. You have found oppression and intolerance of people from other lands, and you have opened your heart. All of this has increased your understanding of life. The gifts you have given brought hope and happiness to many who could never have experienced these things if you had not passed this way. You have not yet touched the stars, but your generosity has touched many. Look again in your belongings, the wise men told the three kings. There will surely be something that each of you can give to the child on this, the day of his birth. Melchior searched in vain through his saddlebag and then remembered the golden chain around his neck. This charm will keep him safe, he said. I have frankincense to offer, said Balthazar. It will help the child sleep. King Caspar reached into his bag. I have nothing left but my medicines. My gift will be myrrh. It will keep him well. Soon the shepherds returned, excited and out of breath. We've found the place and the child is born, but it's not a mansion house. Three kings, three wise men, and three shepherds quietly tiptoed in through the door of a stable. There, by the flickering light of candles, a man and a woman tenderly nursed a new-born child. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. I'm going to ask you to spot the difference. I'd like to ask you first to speak to the people around you about the similarities. What do you think these two stories have in common? Have a little chat. Those of you who know the Christmas story well will probably have spotted that this is a work of imagination. This is a made-up story that the author Brian Harrison Lever hasn't so much just read between the lines of the biblical story, though there's some of that going on. But he's really taken real people from the biblical account and spun a new story, painted a new canvas, and imagined what might have happened on their journey. So we could play spot the difference between the two accounts, couldn't we? We could notice, for instance, that in the Bible it speaks of wise men, not kings at all. In fact, it doesn't tell us how many there are. It doesn't say three anywhere in the account. What else could we notice that were differences?
They actually visited a house, not a stable.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yep. The wise men, we're told, found the child and its parents in a house. What else? Yeah, that's right. They sort of took the role of the angels in Luke who gave the good news to the shepherds and sent them into town, yes.
Didn't meet up with Herod?
Didn't meet up with Herod at all? Otherwise, they're perfectly the same. Oh, Megan? Yeah, they gave what they had left, yeah.
The other one is that they talked about seeing a newborn.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And usually, and we did it ourselves last week on Christmas Day, usually when you see a nativity play, you see all of the characters all at once, don't you? You see the shepherds in the same place as the wise men. But were there shepherds or angels or a manger in the story that we read from Matthew? No, Matthew and Luke have completely different accounts that have been handed down to them that they think are important to write down in their Gospels. And so it's unlikely that all of those people were there at the same time, because otherwise probably both of the people, Matthew and Luke, would have written about all of them. Now, you said up to 2 years old. Why do you say the child was probably up to two?
Because Herod wanted to know the exact time they saw the star was up to at least two and under. So that's why he thought two and under.
Yeah. So Herod based his decree that children would be killed, the age of the children, on his questioning of exactly what time the star indicated the child had been born. Yeah. So he wants all children under two, so he must think that there's a bit of a range, rather than, oh yes, it's right now, so we'll just take all the newborns.
I think the important thing too is he only asked for the boys to be killed, whereas the story doesn't distinguish between
who the child. Yeah, that's interesting. It doesn't even say it's baby boy, yeah. Yeah. Specific. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anything else you notice? Well, I imagine it's clear at this point that I didn't choose to read this story because it gives us the factual details of Jesus' birth. Last week, on Christmas Day, we heard readings from the beginnings of Matthew's and Luke's and John's Gospels, all speaking about the birth of Jesus. So we've had some of the details and the facts. Instead, this, I think, tells us of six fictional men, the three kings and their three star readers who guided them, who encounter the Son of the Lord of the universe and are changed by him. And at Christmas, isn't that what we want as well? To encounter the Son of the Lord of the universe and be changed by him. Mark is the only gospel writer we don't usually hear from at Christmas. Mark's gospel isn't considered very Christmassy because, unlike the other gospel writers, he begins his story not with the birth of Jesus, but with the beginning of Jesus' adult life of teaching and healing around Israel. But when I read The Three Kings, because it was so clearly a fictional story that drew only quite lightly from Matthew's gospel, it was actually the beginning of Mark's gospel that I was reminded of most. And I wonder if the beginning words that we first hear from Jesus at the beginning of Mark's gospel tell us more about what was going on for these fictional characters as they journeyed towards Jesus. So I'd like to read to you from the beginning of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. For some of you, these will be very familiar words. And when words are familiar, sometimes they lose some of their punch and shine. So I'd like to encourage you, because we're reading this at a time of year we don't normally, to try and listen with fresh ears if these are familiar words. They may not be, so it'll be easy for you. Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And I think for our three fictional kings, the kingdom of God had come near. They were participating in the building of the kingdom of God along their journey. The kingdom of God, that a new community where God's will is done. And along their journey towards Jesus, perhaps in the story without quite knowing it, they were participating in bringing the kingdom of God near, as we are all called to do. And on their journey, they were changed. Their behaviour and their understanding were radically changed. And isn't that what repentance is kind of about? Embracing a new way of being? And they may not have understood the good news in the way that people a little later could. But they believed something, didn't they? They believed that something special was occurring in the universe that demanded their attention and deserved their worship and their sacrifice of making this long trip. And on their journey, they were part of spreading good news. They were part of transforming and liberating communities as we are all called to. The three kings that we read about in Brian Harrison Lever's storybook aren't really found in the Bible. But their story, I think, has Jesus' fingerprints all over it. And as a new year unfurls in front of us, maybe that can be true for our stories too. Your personal story might not appear in the scriptures, just as their personal story doesn't. But your personal story can still shimmer and shine with the light of Christ. And we who have the gift of the scriptures, as the three kings didn't, we can be even more aware than the wise men in this story or this one of how we can play a part in God's kingdom and be part of bringing God's kingdom to our patch of earth, wherever we are. So perhaps God is inviting us in 2011 with a new set of numbers to boost us into a new way of being. Perhaps God is inviting us, in the words of Jesus from Mark's Gospel, to be part of bringing the kingdom of God near. Perhaps we are being called to repent, to embrace a new way of being. Perhaps we are being called to believe the good news, to really hear, maybe with new ears, the loving welcome of God, which is good news. So as we blink in the bright light of a new year that may have snuck up upon us, let's imagine for ourselves a new story for this coming year and beyond. A new story that is full of learning and growing and trusting, just as the three kings did in this story. And a story that is full of a new sense of joy and belonging and satisfaction, which is what they found when they came and found Jesus, the child with its parents. While we have this picture still on the screen, and before we sing the song this verse comes from, I'd like to give you a moment to just spend in quiet to contemplate either of these stories, or both of them, to ask the Holy Spirit to draw your attention to something that is intended for you to take away from this morning, to perhaps begin a conversation with God about this coming year, perhaps reflecting on rocks in the jar or on these stories. And I'm going to bring a New Year's blessing in a couple of minutes when we've had a moment to reflect. So let's take some time in quiet.